Hi, my name is Tom, and this is What It Takes. Each episode, I sit down with real business owners to talk about their journey, the wins, the challenges, and everything in between. Let's dive in. All right. Welcome back to Business Owners Tell All What It Takes. Today's guest is someone who has built an impressive business in an industry that many people overlook. Jesse Jackson is the founder of Mango Automotive, a fast-growing multi-location auto repair group based in Austin, Texas. What makes her story particularly interesting is that she didn't start with experience in the automotive industry, yet today she operates 8 businesses generating 8 figures in revenue through strategic acquisitions, operational discipline, and a strong focus on continuous learning. Jesse's journey is a great example of how to grow a business that an owner often starts with personal growth, developing the mindset, skills, and leadership needed to scale a company. Along the way, she's balanced entrepreneurship with raising 7 kids, navigating major business decisions, building teams that allow her companies to continue expanding. Today, we're diving in with the role of learning and development play in building and leading successful businesses. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tom.
So, as we get started, those of you who may not know you yet, tell us a little bit about Mango Automotive, how you got started, and what led you into the automotive repair industry.
Oh my gosh, just those simple 3 questions, huh, Tom?
That's it, just the easy ones.
You know, I was ironically a fractional chief product officer for many years, and I stumbled into an automotive software, and they brought me on full-time onto their team. So I knew a ton about the automotive space, and my goal with that team was to help us exit to private equity, which we did. And I had about a 6-month heads up from the time that we got the term sheet until the time I knew it was going to happen. So I was thinking of my next move, and maybe I was tired of software, but I definitely wanted to stay in automotive because I saw a huge opportunity with, at the time, 6 out of 10 owners wanting to retire in the next 10 years. That is a gigantic transfer of wealth in the industry. And not only that, but the industry was beginning to undergo this EV transformation. So I wanted to be a part of that. And that's how I just moved over into automotive.
Oh, that is awesome. So 6 out of 10 owners were looking at getting out of the industry. I mean, that is huge. It's exactly what you said, a great opportunity for transfer of wealth. Now, when you first started the company, what were some of the biggest learning curves you faced stepping into an industry that you didn't necessarily originally come from?
Right. I think it's interesting when you make a transfer into a different industry. And I'll say, even though I was in automotive brick and mortar is very different from automotive software. But just like anything, our greatest weaknesses are oftentimes our greatest strengths. You asked me about those challenges, I think automatically too. Number one, I knew nothing about the industry.
Yes.
Which meant that I was able to question everything and sort of remake things, right? Instead of accepting that things are done in this industry this way, that's just how they're done. Let's evaluate whether that's the best way to do it and whether we can improve it. So that sort of followed me through. But I think being an entrepreneur is a little bit like giving birth. Like your first child, you don't know what you're up for, like going through pregnancy and labor. But I remember with my second kid, I was terrified because I knew what I was getting into. So part of the advantage was I just didn't quite know how hard it was going to be and the challenges that I was going to face. So that was an advantage. I moved forward. I love Elon Musk's quote about being an entrepreneur or a business owner is like eating glass because all of the worst problems come to you. So you just eat glass all day. And I think you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. You have to be comfortable eating that glass, especially when you're wanting to see rapid growth inside of your business.
Yes, I love that quote. And, you know, it's funny is that you're talking, as you were talking about your journey, like one of the greatest assets was that, you know, you didn't know. So you didn't have those bad habits, per se, of what everyone else was going through. So you kind of had to, you know, assess the process and say, no, that doesn't work for me and for my company. And you kind of learned along the way as you went. you know, a lot of entrepreneurs talk about the importance of continuous learning, and it seems like that's kind of what you've done just from the very start. What are some ways that you currently invest into active learning in your own personal development today?
Oh my gosh, isn't that true? Because if I was, you know, Jesse 6.0 when I started Mango, now I'm Jesse 8.3. So all of that just to say, I think sometimes when we set for ourselves big, audacious goals, there's this sense of, but I'm not everything that I need to be to accomplish that goal. Well, no doubt. Yes, that's true. You're not, but you're going to go through the evolution, and that's okay for you to say, you know, I'm going to accomplish X goal and I'm going to put the wheels on while I'm getting there. I'm going to figure out how to be the leader that I need to be to get to that place. And Tom, I just totally ignored your question and talked about something else and can't even remember what your question was at this point.
What are you actively doing to just continue your own personal learning and development?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's the whole piece of when you're growing so rapidly. So we grew from literally nothing. And then in our first year, we did $3,000. We did open on December 27th, but I love the stat anyway. We grew by 30,000% the next year. And we, you know, we tripled, doubled. When you're experiencing that kind of growth, you can't help but be pushed into being a better version of yourself. I mean, I read books. And I have a couple of mentors who I meet with regularly who have done what I'm trying to do, right? I mean, essentially now I know how to grow a business from 0 to 20 million, but I don't know how to grow a business from 20 million to 100 million. So what's the saying? You stand on the shoulders of giants. You know, you meet people who have done that before and you let them guide you a bit.
Yes. So actually That's amazing. It runs right into my next question, which is, you know, what role have mentors, advisors, or the business community in general just helped you grow, not just like as your company, but as like an entrepreneur yourself?
Yeah, I was really blessed. Well, let me tell you a story, Tom. When I was pregnant with our sixth child, this is the same time that I mentioned earlier when I'm working full time for this automotive software and we're trying to exit, sell to private equity. And I'm pregnant with our sixth child and my husband, who has a PhD in nuclear physics and is a lifelong learner, always learning much more than me, invests so many hours in learning, keeps telling me that I should take this course. And I'm like, Soren, I do not have time to take a course. I am trying to get this company to exit and I am pregnant. Like, I am totally at capacity. Well, we sell the business and he keeps bugging me to take the course. And I'm having a little break, 3-month maternity leave of sorts, self-inflicted maternity leave. And I said, if I take this course, will you leave me alone about it? And he said, yes. And it happened to be a Roland Frazier's course.
Okay.
And Roland Frazier is all about buying businesses for $0 out of pocket. So it really merged perfectly with what I was wanting to do to acquire in the brick and mortar space. And I became what do they call someone who's like such a hardcore fan of a band or something?
Like a diehard? Yeah.
Yeah, like a diehard groupie of Roland, and like any program he had, I signed up for it. I was there for it. And I don't think that I could have done what I did as rapidly as I did it had I not been able to learn from Roland. And he ended up becoming an investor in our company, and we still meet regularly. I mean, and I think one piece there that I'll add that you didn't ask about is sort of, I was happy to give Roland a piece of my company. And I also have a business partner who actually comes from automotive repair and knows how to sell a water pump. And I was also happy to give him a piece of my company. I think sometimes we can feel like we just want to hang on to our company and we want all the control. But what's the saying? If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Yes.
So playing on that, you know, just having a smaller piece of a bigger play. There are so many things I don't know. And yes, I could learn them all. Or I could just hire or partner with someone who already knows that and does that better than me. So like, and that's been integral as we've grown. I know a lot of your audience members are sort of seven figure business owners in the millions and wanting to grow. And there was a time when my business partner, Brian, and I, we did everything. We were HR, I was finance, you know, he was operations, I was marketing, literally running our digital ads. I mean, I was running payroll, paying bills, you name it, we were doing it. And we got to five shops and we just looked at each other. I looked at him completely melting down. And I was like, Brian, we have to hire someone. Like, let's hire an HR person. And he was scared. It's always a scary leap because you're hiring someone, you have to trust that they not only can do as good of a job as you, but when you're at those kind of numbers, it also for a minute takes some money out of your pocket, right? Sure. Like if you're taking home, you know, 300K and you hire someone for 100K, for a minute you're taking home 200K.
Yes.
So you have to believe that you can do your job better to grow the business faster so you can, you know, account for that person. And now we have a whole corporate leadership. And I can say that the best thing that I ever did for our company is to hire people that are better than us. And we've done that through and through. And even sometimes you think, no one can do this better than me. It's never true. You always find someone, you're like, shoot, you're better at that than me. Because as entrepreneurs, we wear so many hats. We're really good at doing things fast and we're good at doing a lot of things. But there's probably a specialist who specializes at it better than you.
Yes, it's one of those things. And it's like, at first I thought it was a guy thing where it's like this pride where like, I have to do it. I can do it better. And then I found out it's not a guy thing. It's just like any business owner. It's like this entrepreneurial thing. It's like, no, my company, I can do it. I can just build on it. I can do it better. This is the right way. And it's just, you end up kind of spinning your wheels until you find somebody's like, well, let me help you. Let me take a little bit off your back. Let me help shoulder the load. And I love that you said that because I think it's so important for, you know, most of these businesses as they get going is that you can't do it alone. You cannot scale companies to where they could be by yourself. And it's just having those right business partners, the right people in play. I mean, it's just monumental. And I love hearing that.
Yeah, it's that classic, you are the limiting factor in your business because you can only do things as fast as you can do them. So unless you're willing to hire those things out or partner those things out, you'll always limit yourself. And it's sort of, you know, it feels like a big mindset when you first get into it, like, no, I do everything. But it actually, as you grow, I think especially from, you know, 5 million to 20 million, you literally cannot do everything anymore. And if you're not willing to find someone that can, you're just not going to grow.
Right. 100%. So let me ask you this question, Jesse. Can you share a moment of a lesson that you learned from a mistake that has significantly changed your approach to business?
You know, if you had given me this question yesterday, I should have talked. I could have thought about it. But okay, the question is, what did I screw up?
Yes. What was a mistake that you learned a lesson from?
Okay. You're going to have to cut this part out. I'm thinking. I think as we have grown, it's been really exciting to grow through acquisitions and to open shops in new regions. And everything has felt like an opportunity. But an opportunity is great, and an opportunity is something that you hope you can jump through that will only exist for a limited period of time. Or maybe a better way to think about it is you're at the airport and planes are taking off to different destinations all the time. And you can get on one of those planes, but by its very nature, there's two things that happen. One is that you're saying no to all the other planes. And two is that if you don't decide in time, that plane will take off and okay, you're not going to Hawaii because that was the plane to Hawaii and you missed it. And life's decisions are sort of happen in that way as well, like opportunities present themselves. So I think I coach people in doing acquisitions. So as I watch them, the most common mistake that I see is people just standing in the airport and the planes are taking off and we're paralyzed by indecision So we don't get on any plane. We're just, you know, we potentially paid to get into the airport. We're just standing there and we can't get on a plane. But I think that the opposite exists also and often exists in the entrepreneur. And I've seen it in myself where I definitely am getting on a plane.
May not be the right plane, but I'm getting on a plane.
But I'm getting on a plane. And so as we've grown bigger, the ship becomes harder to turn. Mm-hmm. So I've had to, you know, I've looked in the past and said, okay, maybe I shouldn't have made that choice, but I was making a choice and I didn't want to see that plane leave to Hawaii without me. So I just got on it, but I didn't consider that I couldn't get back from Hawaii for 4 months from now. And, you know, I'm doing this other thing over here, really, that all my business exists in snowy climates. I just went to Hawaii. So I think, you know, my propensity for doing something is, again, back to like our biggest strengths are our biggest weaknesses. Like that's why Mango exists. And that is my biggest strength. But to balance it out, I really have had to slow down a little bit and just think things through.
Sure.
And now I have to think about the much bigger consequences to whatever action we're doing. Like we're thinking about changing accounting software. 3 years ago, I would have just made a decision and moved forward. And that would have been that.
Right,
but
right.
Now because we're bigger, I'm like, okay, what's the switching cost? How much longer is it going to take us to produce our P&Ls for that period of time when we're switching accounting softwares? How much more efficient is it going to make us? So just, you know, being a little bit more cognizant of the consequences to the entire organization, because Mango is not just me anymore. Mango is 100 people whose lives I'm affecting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to really think things through before I choose my airplane.
That is probably some of the best advice I've ever heard, because I am a get on the plane guy. Like, I'm like, consequences, we'll figure them out.
Yeah, you'll put the wheels on while you're driving down the road. We'll
exactly.
Figure that out.
So that was amazing. So I have one more question, but I'm going to kind of change it here because of our conversation earlier.
Sure.
Jesse, give me the rundown of how you balance your crazy eight unit business that is thriving and flourishing with 7 kids, because that blows my mind.
Tom, my life is just held together by like a hair tie and 2 broken bobby pins. Like, I think I posted something on Instagram yesterday or over the weekend, and it was literally, I'm trying to take a picture with my 2 littlest kids who are 2 and 4, and they're both in my arms, and the 4-year-old is just slapping me in the face over and over again. So you get these live pictures that I turned into a video that are just me being slapped in the face over and over again, and I'm like, this is not me replaying the same video, this is literally me being slapped in the face over and over again. So I don't know. I think it's just a willingness to be struggling all the time. As a business owner or a human, I don't think we ever reach that point that we think we see in other people, which is like, whoo, I made it. I'm here. Like, we got it all together. No, I'm literally just, I am struggling all the time. And sometimes I collapse under the weight of having to, you know, be responsible for all of the families who are employed with us and my own little family. And I think last week I had a complete meltdown and like, I just don't know how to do this. But I don't know. The key is, I love that you're a get on the plane kind of person, because even though it's impossible, you just do it anyway. I mean, it's the same way, you know, if you take having kids alone, having a toddler and a baby is impossible. How can you possibly have a toddler and a baby? Like, you got to take care of this baby and nurse them, and the toddler's screaming at you and has to sit on the potty, and then your toddler's hitting your baby. Like, that's impossible parenting. So like, having, I know you have 6 kids or I have 7 kids. It's totally impossible. I remember when the 5 littlest, because they're the most closely grouped together, they were like 0, 2, 4, 5, 6. I could hardly like go to Target, because the 2-year-old would have to go to the bathroom, and then the 4-year-old would be licking the floor, and the 5-year-old would be trying to open the bathroom stall while I'm trying to pee. I mean, it's just impossible, and you do it anyway. So there's no balancing. There's no magic. I mean, all the time I'm working or with my kids. I don't have a hobby or something. I don't relax. I don't have something extra I want to do. And that's by design. Like, I enjoy not being bored. I enjoy being busy. I like to live on the edge, and I'm sort of collapsing. So if you feel like you're collapsing, I don't know, maybe you're doing it right. Like, that's, you know, you're either stretching yourself or you're relaxing, and we all get to design our own lives. So if you want to do a lot of things, better get comfortable with being slapped in the face over and over again.
I absolutely love it. I had a mentor of mine tell me one day that, and I asked him something very similar. He had like, he has four kids, worked like crazy. And I was like, hey, how do you balance this? And he's like, you don't, but there's value in the struggle. And I was like, man, that is the worst and best advice I've ever heard. Because like, I don't want to hear that I'm always going to struggle, but he's like, when you come out the other side, you'll be glad that you did. So that is amazing. And Jesse, before we wrap up, we ask every guest the same question here on the show. From everything you've experienced, building businesses, navigating challenges, and continuing to grow as a leader, what does it really take to be a business owner?
I'm going to say two things. Two is, and we've covered them both a little bit. To be a business owner, you need to be willing to eat glass. So be uncomfortable and stretch yourself. And you need to be willing to set goals. And as maybe you think that's cheesier, it's like, yeah, everyone sets a goal, but truly you can't do something until you dream it. So you have to think of what you want. I had to think of mango before I could start executing on it. So if you can just eat glass and set big, hairy, audacious goals, you should be good. Just when you feel like quitting, just keep going. Keep going anyway. Just keep going.
Oh, I love it. Jesse, I really appreciate the perspective you shared today. One thing that stands out from your story is how much growth as a business owner is really tied to the personal learning and development. I love that aspect. And whether it's stepping into like a newer-ish brick and mortar side of the industry or building your leadership skills or just the continuing to evolve as your company has grown, it's clear that the willingness to learn plays a huge role in your long-term success. Thank you so much for sharing your story and joining us today. And to everyone listening, if you found value in this conversation, be sure to share this episode and with another business owner who might benefit from it. Thank you so much.
Hi. Are we solid here? We don't need to wait for it.
This podcast is brought to you by Seeker Solution. Are you a business owner feeling overwhelmed? We can help. Head over to seekersolution.com to schedule a call today. Would you or someone you know like to be featured on this podcast? Our applications are now open. Apply today at seekersolution.com and click on the podcast link to get started.